जयतां सुरतो पंगो मम मंद मत्सर्वस्य पदं भोज राधा मदनमोहन जयतां सुरतो पंगो मम मंद मतेर्गति मत्सर्वस्य पदं भोज राधा जयतां सुरतो पंगो मम मंद मतेर्गति मत्सर्वस्य पदं भोज राधा जय श्री श्री राधा मदन मोहन की जय। ओं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की जाय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाय। नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की जाय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जाय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जाय। श्री श्री राधा मदन मोहन की जाय। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जाय। श्री श्री गौर निताई की जाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जाय। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य अनुसुतानि। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 18 परीक्षित कष्ट बाय ब्राह्मण बॉय टेक्स्ट 41 निशम्य सप्तम अतद अर्हम नरेन्द्रं सा ब्राह्मणो नात्मजम् अभ्यानन्दत् अहो वताङ्हो महद् अद्य ते कृतं अल्पीयसि द्रोह ऊरुर दमो धृतः। निशम्य सप्तम मतदर्हम नरेन्द्रम् स ब्राह्मणो नात्मजमभ्यनन्द अहो बतांहो महदद्दति कृतं अल्पी यसी द्रोह उरुर्दमोद्धृतः निशम्म शप्तं मतदर्हं नरेन्द्र सब्राह्मणो नात्मजमभ्यनन्द अहो बतांहो महदद्य कृते कृता अहो बतांहो महदद्यते कृतम् अल्पी यसी द्रोह उरुर्दमोद्धृतः निशम्म शप्तं मतदर्हं नरेन्द्रम् सब्राह्मणो नात्मजम् अभ्यनन्द अहो बतांहो महदद्यते कृतम् अल्पी यसी द्रोह उरुर्दामधृतः Mataji's
Bye.
Nishamma, after hearing Shaptam, cursed, Atad Arham, never to be condemned, Nara Indram, unto the king, best of humankind, Sa, that, Brahmanah, Brahmana Rishi, Na, not, Atmajam, his own son, Abhyanandat, congratulated, Aho, alas, Bata, distressing, Angha, sins, Mahat, great, Adya, today, Te, yourself, Kritam, performed, Alpayasi, insignificant, Drohe, offense, Uru, very great, Damaha, punishment, Dhritaha, awarded. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The father heard from his son that the king had been cursed, although he should never have been condemned, for he was the best amongst all human beings. The rishi did not congratulate his son, but on the contrary, began to repent, saying, "Alas, what a great sinful act was performed by my son. He has awarded heavy punishment for an insignificant offense." Please repeat after me. The father heard from his son that the king had been cursed, although he should never have been condemned. For he was the best among all human beings. The rishi did not congratulate his son, but on the contrary, began to repent, saying, "Alas, what a great sinful act was performed by my son. He has awarded heavy punishment for an insignificant offense." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The king is the best of all human beings. He is the representative of God, and he is never to be condemned for any of his actions. In other words, the king can do no wrong. The king may order hanging of a culprit son of a brahmana, but he does not become sinful for killing a brahmana. Even if there is something wrong with the king, he is never to be condemned. A medical practitioner may kill a patient by mistaken treatment, but such a killer is never condemned to death. So what to speak of a good and pious king like Parikshit Maharaj? In the Vedic way of life, the king is trained to become a Rajarshi or a great saint, although he is the ruling king. It is the king only by whose good government the citizens can live peacefully and without any fear. The Rajarshis would manage their kingdom so nicely and piously that their subjects would respect them as if they were the Lord. That is the instruction of the Vedas. The king is called Narendra, or the best amongst human beings. How then could a king like Maharaj Parikshit be condemned by an inexperienced, puffed up son of a Brahmana, even though he had attained the perfection of a qualified Brahmana? Since Shramik Rishi was an experienced, good Brahmana, he did not approve of the action of his condemned son. He began to lament for all that his son had done. The king was beyond the jurisdiction of curses as a general rule, and what to speak of a good king like Maharaj Parikshit? The offense of the king was most insignificant, and his being condemned to death was certainly a very great sin for Sringi. Therefore, Rishi Shamik regretted the whole incident. Nishamma shaptam atadarhang narendra sabrahmano natma jabam abhanandat aho batangho mahadattate kritam alpi asidroho urudam nidhita. The father heard from his son that the king had been cursed, although he should never have been condemned, for he was the best amongst all human beings. The Rishi did not congratulate his son, but on the contrary, began to repent, saying, "Alas, what a great sinful act was performed by my son. He has awarded heavy punishment for an insignificant offense." So, it's being pointed out here that since the king is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he should never be condemned. The king is the protector of mankind, and even if he makes a mistake, he should not be condemned for that, or he should not be cursed because of that. That is the most important consideration here. And we can see what actually happened. This inexperienced, as it has been described here, the inexperienced, puffed up son of a Brahmana. That is how Sringi has been described. Although he was a Brahmana, he was born in a Brahmana family, but he qualitatively, qualification wise, he was not a Brahmana. He has been described as at the most a Brahma Bandhu, who is born in a Brahmana family but did not develop the qualities of a Brahmana. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. It is very important to understand that who are situated in what position. When mana dena, man means to measure. And mana dena, the word mana dena means offering or treating different individuals in an appropriate way. A Brahmana should be treated like a Brahmana, Kshatriya should be treated like a Kshatriya. A Vaishya should be treated like a Vaishya, and a Sudra must be treated like a Sudra. If we start treating a Sudra like a Brahmana and Brahmana like a Sudra, then there will be total confusion. That's why the Vedic culture is very precise. The dealings in the Vedic community is very, very precise. The seniors must be respected and juniors must be given protection. Senior must be worshipped and the junior must be given with proper care and attention and affection. That is the very basic social moral consideration. Seniors are in the Vedic culture is always treated with great respect. Even if one is a few days senior, he is treated with great respect. How much older is Balaram to Krishna? But Balaram is treated like the elder brother. Krishna treats Balaram like the elder, although he's just a few days older than Krishna. Now what to speak of people situated on exalted position like a king? In the Vedic society, if a person is even few days older by birth, he is treated with respect. If one is coming from higher class, he should be treated with respect. If somebody is coming with, if somebody is situated as an elderly member of the society or the family, he is treated with respect. Must be treated with respect. That is the very foundation of the Vedic culture. Now, who is a king? A king is a representative of the Supreme Personality of God. So he must be treated with utmost respect. But here, this inexperienced, puffed up, unqualified son of a brahmana, what did he do? He cursed him. And as a result of the curse, he died within 7 days' time. When such a king died, what happened? When such a king dies, a very, very noble and qualified and wise leader, when he dies, and powerful, that's the most important consideration for a kshatriya. A kshatriya must be powerful, very powerful. And with his power, he gives protection to the society. And when such person is cursed to die an untimely death, it brings chaos to the society. This Brahmana boy, he cursed Parikshit Maharaj, but what was the result? The result was, now there was nobody to stop Kali from spreading his influence. There is nobody. And what is Kali's influence? Kali's influence is most dangerous influence, most degraded influence. Kali's influence actually takes the human society to the worst sinful stage of existence. In Kali Yuga, people are becoming so much involved in sinful activity because they think that there is nothing called rebirth, there is no controller, there is no one checking. So why be afraid of acting in a wrong way? There is no rebirth, there is no reincarnation. At the time of death, everything will be finished. Therefore, just eat, drink and be merry. That is their policy. Try to enjoy as much as possible. Don't worry about sin or bad karma and so forth. Just act in whichever way you are going to have the greatest sense gratification. And the result is people are indulging in these sinful activities in such a reckless way. They're slaughtering cows. Cow killing is one of the most sinful acts, to kill a cow. They're taking intoxication so badly. They are taking intoxication, that's another very grievous thing. They are indulging in illicit sex. There is no consideration of morality. There is no consideration of man-woman relationship. The human society has a very definite arrangement for man-woman relationship. If a man and a woman get together, they cannot just get together on the basis of sex life. They must get together on the basis of getting married, the social approval. And this approval gives them the or authorizes them, sanctions them to become united, live as husband and wife, and produce children. Marriage is not just to have unrestricted sex life. The purpose of marriage is to produce children. Putrarthe kriyate bharja. One accepts a wife for the sake of producing children. Putrarthe kriyate bharja. Bharja means a wife. And putrarthe, for the sake of begetting children. So, that is the purpose of marriage. The purpose of sex life is only for procreation, not for anything else. We see the animals, in the animal society, when do they indulge in sex life? For what purpose do they indulge in sex life? For the sake of procreation, not for sense gratification. And Bhagavatam describes this process of procreation is so painful that a man and woman would not otherwise unite. It's such a painful act. Therefore, some certain degree of pleasure has been rewarded in that act. And being allured by this pleasure aspect, man and woman would become united and the children, progeny, will be procreated. But now what is happening? Man, woman don't worry about getting married. The purpose of man and woman relationship is simply sex life. And then there are all kinds of arrangements not to have children. So we can see how degraded the human society has become. It is very, very, the human society has become so degraded today. Why? Because of the influence of Kali. And why Kali's influence has spread? Because Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die. If Parikshit Maharaj continued, then Parikshit Maharaj would have made all kinds of arrangements to prevent Kali from spreading his influence. But due to this untimely death of Parikshit Maharaj, the whole human society has fallen apart and is suffering. The human society has become so degraded because of the influence of Kali. Kaler dosher nidhe rajan. It's a dosher nidhe. It's an ocean of sinful activity. Or the most degraded period. It's the most degraded age, but it has one advantage. Asti hi eko mahan guna. One great advantage. And that is Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parampraja. If one just chants the holy name of Krishna, then he will go. Mukta Sanga Param Brajet. He'll become free from his material bondage and go back to the spiritual sky. So this is the only advantage of this age. Otherwise this age is extremely abominable, extremely degraded, extremely dangerous. So we should be very careful that we do not become affected by the influence of the age of Kali. It's a very degrading age. Like we can see, like how people are being forced to become degraded. Everywhere people are eating meat. People are being told that meat is the best food. And it all happened in a very, we can see, like in a very systematic way, these developments actually have taken place. Actually, not only in India, even in the West, in the Western countries, killing cow was not at all a practice. Cows had always been treated as an wealth. In Africa, the wealth is considered to be the number of cows one has. A rich man means he has many cows. And also it's an interesting thing to note, like in the Zulu tradition, God is one who has many cows. Do we see the similarity? God has many cows. Who is that then? Gopal. The one who takes the cows, protects the cows. In even today, a person's wealth is judged by how many cows he has. Many cows means rich person. So this was the cows were considered to be wealth. Even in Europe, cows were considered to be wealth. And what to speak of Middle East, where they're a desert. They couldn't even dream of having a cow. Because in such climate, cows do not grow. Cows cannot survive. As a matter of fact, I have been told by one of our Muslim god brothers that in Quran there is one chapter called Surah Al-Baqarah, which actually glorifies the cows, the wealth of cows. That chapter describes the glory of cows. But what happened when they came to India? When they saw that the Hindus are worshipping cows, they just acted in a totally opposite way. Hindus worship cows, so you kill the cows and eat their food. Actually, Muslims, when they came to India, they just did what people did here. They just completely did opposite to that. Completely opposite. Though cow is worshipped, you kill the cows. Like in that culture, there was no cow killing. Even what they consider a traditional aspect of religion, like called Bakri Eid, they kill cows, but actually Bakri doesn't mean cow. Bakri means goat. At the most, they would kill a goat. And the thing is, the idea was to sacrifice. Because killing an animal is considered to be sinful. So, when you have to kill an animal, take the permission from the Lord. Now, how did the cow killing become prevalent? One reason, of course, is because there is scarcity of food in the West at that time, winter was severe, they had to resort, there was no crop. In winter time, for months together, there is no vegetation. Therefore, they had to kill animals. And they would preserve those animals, actually. Anyway, there are all kinds of things. But the worst thing that happened, actually, was it started in America. The cow killing has been taught by the world by the North American settlers, and then it spread into South America, and then Australia, New Zealand. These are the most degraded cow killing society. And why? How did the cow killing start in America? The history actually says that when the European settlers went to America, they occupied large tracts of land. They got large pieces of land, and in that land they were farming. But when you farm, you grow so much, like what do? The excess food you have to sell somewhere. But there was no transport system those days. There were pockets of communities. Like America is a very large country, and there were different settlers in different areas, especially away from the cities. They were farming, but there was no way to transport the excess produce. So they found out one very nice and easy method. That is, feed the cattle. Feed the grain, excess grain, you feed the cows. And then walk the cows from the farm to the city. So no problem in transporting. And in the cities, they started to slaughter the cows. And all the big cities means big slaughterhouses. One of the biggest slaughterhouses in America are Chicago, because it's central. Chicago, then Detroit, Denver, all those places are. There's civilization, their civilization developed by cow killing. Then they also followed that in South America. In South America, they found out what they were doing in North America, they also started doing that. And today South America is one of the biggest suppliers of meat to the world. Then Australia, New Zealand, all these places are completely. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai. And as a result of that, the whole society, whole world today is suffering. Everywhere. Now India also, even in India they started doing that. India was predominantly a vegetarian country. Only few places where people used to eat not meat, mostly fish and things. But now, from fish they started eating chicken, from chicken they started to eat goats, and now from goats they are eating cows. Even in so-called Hindu state in Nepal, it's considered to be a Hindu state. They don't kill cows, but they kill buffaloes. They just eat buffalo meat. And in this way, when one takes meat, when one takes intoxication, the consciousness becomes degraded. And they become involved in all kinds of sinful activities. Once in Mauritius, Prabhupada gave a very, very wonderful analysis of the degradation of the society. He took Mauritius as a country. He was in Mauritius. And Prabhupada, just being in Mauritius for 2 days, figured out the whole degradation of Mauritius. Prabhupada said that the European, English and French, they came to Mauritius. Very fertile island, beautiful country, very fertile island. The land is very, very rich, very fertile. But in that land, what can you grow? You can only grow vegetables. Now vegetables, you grow vegetables, then what will you do with the vegetables? How much vegetables can you eat? Like just 1 acre of vegetable can provide for hundreds of people. Right? So what are you going to do with the excess vegetable? So they decided to grow sugarcane. From sugarcane you make sugar. The sugar won't rot. Sugar will stay for a long time. So you export the sugar, send the sugar to Europe, France and England and other countries. But then they consider those who are producing sugar, they consider that sugar has a waste product called molasses. After you take the sugar, then there is this molasses, which you can't do anything. So you have to throw it away. But then they found that from the molasses they can make alcohol. You ferment the molasses and it becomes alcohol, rum. And so they started to make alcohol out of the waste product of the sugar. And then they taught people how to drink alcohol. Now, alcohol is liquid fire. When alcohol goes into your stomach, the stomach begins to burn. So when the stomach begins to burn, how can you pacify the stomach? You have to eat meat. Therefore, we find that those who drink alcohol, they have to eat meat. And when one eats meat, one is forced to indulge in illicit sex life. It's a just gradual degradation from one act to another. So in this way, the human society has become degraded. Therefore, the devotees must be very, very careful that these are the 4 things that the devotees will never indulge in. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Because these are the four lane highways to hell. The human society drives down to the hellish condition because of these 4 sinful activities. Now, if anybody wants to elevate himself to the spiritual platform, he must give up these 4 sinful activities. That's why you are so particular in ISKCON. You want to join ISKCON, you want to take to spiritual life, you must abstain from these 4 sinful activities. And it all begins from meat eating or intoxication. And then we are seeing nowadays the whole society is promoting these sinful activities. That means Kali is winning. Kali's influence is becoming more and more prominent. Because the sign is in these 4 sinful activities. Now, if we want to defeat Kali, then what do we have to do? We have to stop this four sinful activities. Mahaprabhu's victory will be indicated by when? By this abstinence from this sinful activity. And finally, when Mahaprabhu's victory will be established all over the world, in every town and village, then no one will indulge in these activities. And if anyone does, as I was mentioning, a ruler like Parikshit Maharaj, what he'll do? He'll banish him. You get out of my kingdom. You can't live in my kingdom. Go to the forest. Live in the forest. If you want to eat meat, okay. Live in the forest, hunt animals and eat meat. If you want to indulge in intoxication, okay, ferment your own alcohol in the forest and drink it. That is what's going to happen when a Krishna conscious king is established or Krishna conscious leader comes to rule the nation. And that is what we have to aspire for. Or if we can't make the whole world Krishna conscious, at least we can make ourselves Krishna conscious. While making ourselves Krishna conscious, let us at least sincerely follow these four regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. And chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Does anybody have any question? Okay, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.